Today on This Week in Iowa, sit downs with leadership ahead of the legislative session. Today we tackle the Iowa Senate. We hear from Republicans setting the agenda and Democrats who are ready to fight for what they believe in. That's all ahead right here on This Week in Iowa. Good morning, everyone, and thank you so much for being here for This Week in Iowa. I'm Sabrina Ahmed. We start this morning with Senate Majority Leader Jack Whitver and his priorities this session. He says he wants to expand on something they've been working on for the last 5 years. Take a listen.
I think from a Senate Republican standpoint, taxes and tax reform is the number one issue, the biggest issue that we're going to work on this year. And so we're really excited about the opportunity to continue the tax reforms that we started 5 years ago.
In a time when we have seen so much volatility in our economy with the pandemic, do you think that tax reform is the right way to go?
Well, when the pandemic started about 18 months ago, they did a 50-state study to see the financial strength of every single state. When they looked at all 50 states, Iowa went into the COVID pandemic the number one strongest fiscal state. As we were starting to come out of the pandemic, they also did a study to see which states were recovering the fastest. We were also ranked number one with the fastest recovery from the COVID pandemic. And so what that has done is put us in a position where we have a tremendous amount of money in surplus. We have over $1 billion in our taxpayer trust fund, $1 billion in our ending balance for this year, and a projected $1 billion ongoing surplus. So it's really been an overcollection of tax payments, and we want to make sure that we get that back to the taxpayer of Iowa.
Do you think there's opportunity for some of those dollars to go back into the state for education, to pay teachers more? We have this huge teacher shortage now in our state, or fixing any of the number of issues that our state is encountering.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like I said before last session, being in such a strong fiscal position gives us opportunities to both make investments where we need to make investments at the state level, but also continue to reduce taxes. So it's not an either or proposition. You can do both. And with the position we're in, we can continue to do that. But we want to make sure that we collected over $1 billion more than we expected last year. We want to make sure that money gets back to the taxpayer.
Let's talk a little bit about the pandemic and how you think our state can continue to recover from it. People are still afraid to go out of their homes. We're seeing businesses are open, but there is this Omicron variant. There are issues that continue to arise. Not everybody's getting vaccinated. There are booster shots. People aren't getting boosted. What do you think is the answer to make sure that our state can continue to stay open?
Well, I think the governor has done a tremendous job of making a lot of these decisions as we went along. We are one of the states to open up soon after after the vaccines came out. We were able to open our economy. That has helped us get people back to work. It's helped families. It's helped parents. And really opening the economy has been a big part of our success. Certainly, we want to make sure that vaccines are available for those that want them and encourage people to get those if they can. And we're going to continue to do that. But ultimately, we want to make sure that we have our economy opening. We have people joining the workforce and continue to grow our state.
There have been some other members of Senate Republican leadership who have said that they support legislation that would make it illegal to possess or distribute controversial books, which have been a hot button issue in a number of school districts, including the school district where your kids attend.
Yeah, well, education has been a hot button topic for years, but specifically since the pandemic started. And some of the decisions made by local schools, some of the decisions we made here at the state level to get our kids back in school, dealing with issues like critical race theory, a lot of issues are popping up, and this is certainly another one of those issues. I have not seen legislation that's been drafted yet to try to address it, but certainly education is important to all of us as Iowans, as parents. Education is very important, and so we want to make sure that we continue to work with our schools to make them the best schools we possibly can.
But do you think that it should be illegal for people to possess or distribute these controversial
looking
books?
Looking at some of the things that are in the books that we found in some of those schools, it is concerning. As a parent, it's concerning. What to do about it is the bigger question. And there's processes in place in a lot of these schools to address that as is. Do we need to change that legislatively? I don't know yet, and I don't know what that law would look like. And so I really can't comment on a potential law yet.
Where do you think the answer is in how much power parents should have over what is taught in schools? And do you think that there should be equal participation of parents in a public school versus a private school?
I think parents ultimately have a lot of say in what happens with their children's education. And the COVID pandemic has really highlighted a lot of issues that we've seen with our schools, whether it's keeping kids out of school, not even going to school, or going to a hybrid model, which a lot of parents felt didn't really work very well, whether they're wearing masks or not. So there's all kinds of issues that parents largely have come to the table and said, we want a greater say in our children's education, which I think is great, because as Republicans and conservatives, for years we said the answer to good education is parental involvement. And we want parents to be involved in their kids' education. And certainly we want to listen and work with parents to give them the best opportunities they possibly can for their children.
Coming up, I chat with the Democratic minority leader. Their priorities come January. You're watching This Week in Iowa. Welcome back. The Democrats are once again in the minority in both the Iowa House and the Iowa Senate come January's legislative session. Senate leader Zach Walls shares their priorities and says being in the minority means they must be more resilient.
We're going to be focused on the workforce crisis. Governor Reynolds and the Republican majority currently don't really have a plan to deal with the fact that we have this, we think, really challenging workforce situation in our state. And so we're going to be focused on a couple of things that we think will get us moving in the right direction. First is making sure that we're going to be trying to expand opportunities with career and technical education, apprenticeships, getting folks the skills that they need to enter the workforce. Another priority for us is going to be childcare. We know that this is a huge issue for Iowa families all over our state. You have folks who are paying more for childcare than they are for their mortgage, for rent, for student loan debt. And so we know that that's going to be a big issue that will help families with their bottom lines, as well as getting folks back into the workforce. And then another final piece that we're going to be focused on is affordable housing. We know that when you look at folks' household budget, obviously childcare and housing can be two of the biggest line items for young families. And so we think that there's a lot of work to do in using the federal dollars that President Biden and Representative Axne got appropriated at the federal level to make sure that we're using those in the right way and that we're doing everything that we can at the state level to continue to bring down the cost of housing.
Let's start by talking a little bit more about the pandemic, or I don't know if it's been qualified as this yet, but I feel like we're kind of in this epidemic now where we just kind of have to figure out how to deal with it. How to deal with COVID, but that brings its own sets of challenges as people are getting sick. People are vaccinated, they aren't vaccinated. People are boosted, they aren't boosted. You know, what do you think is the solution there, as we have seen very clearly that the Republican leadership and the governor do not want to mandate vaccines?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, we know that vaccines are the most important tool that we have in our public health toolbox to bring the pandemic to its conclusion. President Biden and his administration have been focused on trying to get as many folks vaccinated as possible. I certainly encourage any of your viewers at home who are still on the fence to talk with their primary care physician and make the decision that's best for themselves and their family, and to get vaccinated if that's at all possible. We think that that's going to be an important part of how we bring the pandemic to an end, but what we've seen is not only have we seen, obviously, a huge loss of life in our state, but it has created real challenges in our economy. And when we talk about the workforce crisis that we're dealing with, we know that the pandemic took something that was already an issue in 2019 and 2020 and has just really poured gasoline on that fire, which is why we're going to be laser focused on that crisis during the pandemic, during the session here in 2022.
Another workforce issue we're seeing is teachers.
Absolutely.
And not having enough teachers. I mean, schools are closing because they just don't have the staff.
And we know that learning loss is going to be a challenge that we're working on probably for several years going into the future. And it's going to be almost impossible to address that issue when you've got folks out here trying to, and this is not an exaggeration, literally jail teachers because of things that may be said in a classroom or that might be in a library. And so, again, there are these enormous challenges facing our state. And our worry as the Senate Democrats is that our Republican counterparts are more focused on these culture war issues that are distracting us or trying to distract us from these broader economic challenges that we have.
Which brings me to parents' rights. There's been this movement even since like 2015 in different states to pass some sort of like Parents' Bill of Rights. And it's this interesting back and forth between who has rights, these public offices, these public entities, or do parents get to decide what their students are exposed to, their children are exposed to, including in the classroom? What do you think is the solve there?
Well, I haven't seen any kind of legislation like you've kind of mentioned in other states. What I can certainly say is that it's always been the case in public education that what students learn is a partnership between teachers and parents. And frankly, I think most teachers would love to have their students' parents more involved in their education. And of course, you know, parents have plenty of challenges, and maybe the last thing they want to do is try to have to get more involved than they currently are. But we know that that's an important part of any child's education. And so, you know, I think what we've seen, unfortunately, is the politicization of public education. We know that public education is a part of what makes Iowa a great state. And Democrats for a long time have supported strengthening public education, while unfortunately in this last session in 2021, we actually saw Republicans proposing the privatization of our public education system. They want to use taxpayer dollars, our public dollars, for private schools. And we think that there might be disagreements about public education. We don't think the solution here is to use public money for private schools.
Coming up, more specifics from Iowa Republicans. You're watching This Week in Iowa. Iowa's Republicans have a long to-do list this legislative session, including some issues that are likely to be controversial. Senator Whitver shares more agenda items. Perhaps legislation that would remove sexual orientation and gender identity from the Iowa Civil Rights Code. A number of people in the Senate have said that they would support doing that.
Well, I think the concerns there lie in our Supreme Courts and the federal courts that have said that sex changes have to be covered by Medicaid. That was ruled a couple years ago that the state had to fund sex changes. Here in Iowa, we passed a bill to say we weren't going to do that, and then the federal court overturned that again. So really, it's more of a specific question with those transition surgeries than it is with the larger civil rights code.
Well, but there's discussion of removing gender identity and sexual orientation from the civil rights code.
And that's a result of a lawsuit that said we have to fund it as long as it's in there. And so how that shakes out, I don't know yet.
But would you support removing it?
I haven't looked at the issue enough. I mean, we looked at how to solve what we considered a problem was taxpayers paying for these transition surgeries a few years ago. And the way that we came up with to try to change that didn't work. And so we'll continue to look at new options.
Some call it election integrity. Other call it voter suppression. Depends on which side of the aisle you're on. Do you think that there will be more that will be done to change Iowa's voting laws?
Well, I think over the last 6 years or so, there's been a lot of conversation about election integrity, whether it's Hillary Clinton saying the Russians interfered with the election, whether it's President Trump having concerns about the election. Here in Iowa, what we've tried to do, and this started several years ago, we want to make sure that Iowans believe in our election process. And so we started, whether it was voter ID bills or the like, to make sure that Iowans believe that when they go cast a vote in Iowa, that it's counted, that it's accurate. And we've had success with that. There are people that stand on the Senate floor here and want to fearmonger about how we're trying to suppress a vote, and that's exactly the opposite of what's happened over the last couple of years. And so it's one thing to say it on the Senate floor, but we're 5 years into it now, and it's no longer subjective. We have objective facts over the last few years where election turnout has increased every single time. And so more people are voting today than ever have in Iowa. We just had a school board election in Ankeny. The highest vote getter in the history of Ankeny was 3,000 for a school board winner. The winners this year got 8,000 votes. And so there is concerns with election integrity, but turnout continues to go up, and that's a really good thing.
Do you think there needs to be more done?
At this point, I haven't had any bills brought to me
to
address any other security issues with our elections. But if there are, we're certainly going to look at them because we want to make sure Iowans know their elections are secure.
We had a school close because they didn't have the teachers. And it's not just teachers. There is a workforce issue in our state. What can be done to increase the workforce?
Yeah, workforce is the number one issue that we hear from constituents as we travel this state. You know, a decade ago, it was certain industries like welders where we didn't have enough workers. But now it's literally every industry, every organization you talk to, they could use more workers. And so we want to continue to try to find ways to get more people in the workforce, whether that is improving the childcare costs, whether that's working on licensing issues that prevent people from working, whether that's helping people get off of our welfare systems and into the workforce. There's no one single answer, but we want to continue to do everything we can to encourage more people to get in the workforce.
What kind of legislation do you want to see that would decrease childcare costs in our state?
Well, certainly we passed a bill last year that had a lot of different factors to it. But we also set up a childcare tax task force to bring us some more ideas. And so we're still looking at those ideas, and hopefully we'll have a bill maybe to address it this year. But we're still looking at the task force work right now.
Water quality was an issue that that was the first bill that Governor Reynolds signed into law. But if you go look at the Raccoon River or the Des Moines River, the water is filthy and it is not getting better. We hear from our waterworks, just Des Moines Waterworks, saying, you know, we have to use well water because the water is so filthy in our rivers. You know, what can be done, because obviously any voluntary participation isn't doing enough.
Yeah, and we want to continue to build upon the bill that the governor did sign, and the first bill that she signed. We're only a couple years into that program, right? And so last year we extended that another 10 years to continue to provide resources to make sure that we do have good clean water in Iowa. And you know, whether it's a new nutrient reduction strategy that we did or any other ideas, we want to continue to put clean water at the forefront.
Coming up, how the Democrats can be effective while in the minority. You're watching This Week in Iowa. It's not easy to be in the minority in both chambers and then also have the opposing party hold the governor's office. But Democrats say they can still work to help their constituents. More with Zach Walls. Whether you call it voting rights or election integrity laws that have passed through the legislature, do you feel like the laws that passed and were put into place in this most recent election, that they're inhibiting voters from being able to vote?
Yeah, I mean, we saw this just in our municipal and school board elections in November. There were hundreds, if not thousands, of Iowans who were trying to vote by mail for, you know, whatever reason. Who were not able to get their requests in on time because the law had changed, and they, I think, frankly, just didn't even know that it happened. You know, anytime we change elections law, there are always going to be people who may not follow politics quite as closely, and who are frankly going to be disenfranchised. And so it's always a balance. And the thing that I think is really troubling is the very partisan approach that Republicans took. I mean, you could imagine a scenario where Republicans reach out to Democrats and say, we would like to do a bipartisan bill to restore integrity in our elections that will make it, you know, easy to vote and hard to cheat. And that is not what Republicans did at all. They took an incredibly partisan approach. They cut Democrats out from the negotiations completely. And they put into place a law that, from our perspective, has disenfranchised hundreds, if not thousands, of Iowans already. And when you're looking at a congressional district in southeast Iowa that was decided by 6 votes, I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, of course there are going to be consequences to that. So we certainly would support bipartisan legislation that would maybe ease some of the more restrictive provisions that we saw put into law. But all Iowans want to live in a state where we have safe, secure elections that we have trust in. Unfortunately, it's our Republican counterparts who have been pouring a lot of gasoline on the fire, kind of going back to the lies about the 2020 presidential election, you know, and a lot of these really baseless claims about voter fraud that have been investigated relentlessly and have been found not to have influenced the outcome of these elections. So I strongly support secure and safe elections. I don't think that's what the legislation we saw enacted actually is going to do.
Water quality,
yeah,
is an issue that we've talked a lot about. Legislation has passed, but as far as concrete changes to Iowa's quality of water, the rivers are dirty.
Correct, they are. And look, there's no doubt that the legislature has taken some small steps, but it's clear that we have not done the things that are necessary to clean up our rivers, our lakes, our streams, and so there's more work to be done. And I would challenge anyone who thinks that the water quality problem has been solved to go down to the Raccoon River and scoop up a glass of water and see if that's something that they want to drink. And if it's not, you know, maybe it's a question of maybe we get this a little bit more for us to do here in the legislature.
So we talked for about, 15 minutes about a lot of ideas that the Senate Democrats have for priorities to accomplish in this next legislative session. But we've also spoken about the struggles that Democrats face being in the minority, not just here, but also in the House. And the governor's office is held by a Republican. So how can Democrats be effective?
So there are a lot of opportunities where in private conversations or in committee meetings where we're able to work with our Republican counterparts on ideas. But there certainly are, as we've talked about here, a lot of places where we disagree and where we just have a different vision for the future of our state. From our perspective, I think that Republicans are putting in place policies that are going to make it tough for our state to grow. When we talk about the workforce crisis that we have, a lot of that is being driven by young Iowans leaving our state. Mm-hmm. And the Democratic perspective is that we need more Iowans, we need younger Iowans, and we need better paid Iowans. And from our perspective, Republicans are putting in place policies that are going to make that a lot harder. We are not going to support their efforts that we think are going to make those problems worse. But when there is the opportunity for bipartisan work, you know, we do a lot of bipartisan bills here, no doubt about it. So we take those opportunities where we can find them. And I certainly don't think that Democrats have a monopoly on good ideas. But I do think that the legislation that has made it through the Senate, through the House, the governor signed into law, a lot of it in the last few years has made the problems that we're facing as a state worse, not better.
You're watching This Week in Iowa. We'll be right back. Thank you so much for joining us here for This Week in Iowa. We are taking the next 2 weeks off, so you'll see our special holiday episode of This Week in Iowa. Then we'll join you back again in January, right ahead of the legislative session, to hear from the leaders in the House. Have a great weekend, everyone, and happy holidays.